Welcome to worship. My name is Beth Davidan, and I'm a member here at Christ Church Uniting in Kailua, Hawaii. I will be your worship leader for today. Note the word leader. You are all part of this worship experience today. We're delighted that you are joining us from wherever you are in the world, whether you're here in the sanctuary, streaming online, or maybe you're one that tunes in later and watches a recording. It is all part of the worship experience. We light a candle here at Christ Church Uniting at the beginning of our worship time to remind us that we are, in fact, an inclusive, welcoming community, knowing and wanting to experience God's love. We look to this light as a symbol to remember that God is with us and lights our path for seeking peace and justice in the world. Now, as many of you know, it's already been 2 weeks since we bid a fond farewell to our pastor, Liz Levitt, and wished her well on the next journey in her pastorship in Oregon. For the next couple months, we've chosen this theme called Building on a Firm Foundation. And so for the next several weeks, we will be having guest preachers and we'll be worshiping together, but on the foundation that we have had enjoyed the talents of many in our community. So we are really blessed to be together, and we're especially blessed to have Connie Mitchell, longtime CCU member and friend, here to provide our message, our sermon today, the title of which is, and I checked this with her before just to make sure that I wasn't going to go down some path, right? So the title is Community Permission to Dance. And I was really thrilled when I heard the word dance in the title, because it was many, many years ago when I first met Connie. And my first meeting of Connie had nothing to do with words. Connie was right here dancing for our community. And I remember that so profoundly, because since that time, I've enjoyed getting to know Connie better and deeper. And yet it started with a dance. And so I'm really excited to hear what she has to say on that theme. I'm also thrilled to know that this is a choreographed dance altogether. We've got singers. We've got folks in the back that are going to hopefully bring me back on step when I get a little off. So thank you so much. This is a dance that we do together. On that theme, if you will, I invite you to reflect with me on this very brief poem or reflection by Rumi, as many of you know, a 13th century Persian poet and theologian. Join me in a sense of prayer or meditation. In order to understand the dance, one must be still. And in order to truly understand stillness, one must dance. And we take this time to reflect, to prepare our hearts, and we share God's peace with each other. In these COVID times, we've taken on a practice to share the peace of Christ with others. You can send that peace, if you're home, to yourself or to the earth, and we just share God's peace with each other. I believe it's time to begin our worship with music, and so I invite our singers to lead us in our first song of the day, How Firm a Foundation.
Thank you.
And now it's time for cakey time. I see a family. I wasn't here last week, so welcome back. Great to see all of you. If you're tuning in from home, come a little bit closer to the screen and enjoy a message, especially for our younger and young at heart. Hi, kids. It's time to wish a happy birthday to our little free library here at Christ Church Uniting. Let me put a lay. It's been 1 year since our former pastor Liz and her husband Jason built this wonderful library, and we're so excited that it's become such a beautiful place for community to come together. I know many of you have come and gotten books out of here and put books in here. That's the whole idea of a sharing library. We're happy that we have this partnership between our church and Siegel School and the greater community, and it's been really well loved. But you know what? As much as we are thankful for this gift that was left behind by our special friends, and as excited as we are to come and use the library, with everything in the community, there's always a little commitment to keep something alive and well. So my encouragement is the next time, or if you've never visited the library, you come, you think, what can I do to make this even a better library? Well, in 1 year's time, our very hungry caterpillar has sometimes gotten a little dirty. So when I come, I like to dust it off a little bit. And, you know, sometimes people don't get the idea of putting the books inside the library. So I'll come in, and maybe you do this too, open it up and maybe say, oh, there's too many in there. And oh, what's this? Garbage. I'll take care of that. So we take responsibility to keep a really cool thing in our community going. And I'm going to put these books in here because there's a little more room for them. And I can kind of like brush out the leaves and make sure there aren't any geckos in there. And we can make it a really welcoming place for people to come and enjoy books. And we're really excited to be able to continue to celebrate beyond even 1 year, but that our little free library will stay alive and well with all your love and care. Let's say a little prayer. Dear loving God, thank you so much for the gift of this beautiful little free library. We are so thankful for the gifts that it keeps giving well into its second year of life. Thank you and bless all that come and use it. Amen.
Awesome, yeah. Don't want to be too loud, but just keep that beat for us, okay? That's nice. Yeah.
Thank you, choir. Yes, I heard hallelujahs. I heard clapping. Thank you. Today's scripture is from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. Our scripture reading, listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. So, I have a very special introduction of our dear friend. Our sermon today is offered by our guest preacher, Connie Mitchell. As I mentioned earlier, a longtime member and friend of CCU. As many of you know, Connie has been the executive director at the Institute of Human Services for 15 plus years. Through her strong and compassionate leadership, Connie and the IHS team, along with many community partners and financial supporters, including our church, have expanded their work in the community beyond homeless shelters to creating opportunities to prevent housing insecurity. Connie was born and raised in Hawaii, completed both her undergraduate and graduate nursing degrees at the University of Hawaii. She is a licensed lay minister in the United Church of Christ and served for 8 years as a pastoral associate at the Kailua Christian Church before joining CCU. Please join me in welcoming Connie as she shares her message today and accept this lay from our community. Thank you, Connie.
And mahalo, everyone. I really, really want to express a deep, deep aloha to all of you. It really feels like coming home because it's been a while. But I really have so many good memories, you know, of being in this sanctuary and just being with you. And it's no coincidence, though, that, you know, we're actually talking about community and the church, the early church, and the scripture that Beth just read for us. You know, Lauren kicked off the series last week, you know, with talking about building on a firm foundation, especially as it applies to all of you in this season between pastors. And I think that, you know, hopefully what we talk about or what I'm about to share with you will share some other perspectives that might be helpful during this period. This passage curiously describes the early church as a gathering of believers who did a lot together. They shared everything they had and committed themselves to learning and seeking out truth while celebrating God's goodness, healing, and signs of wonder, which collectively characterize what I call community. The experiences that help us find hope and goodness amid the usual struggles of life. You know, does this hearing about this kind of sharing of life together feel a little bit uncomfortable for some? I think that given the amount of individualism that we are immersed in our community and in this culture, sometimes thinking about sharing a lot more is a little bit threatening, I think. We're constantly reminded of our personal rights these days, and we cling to them when we're faced with decisions that pit one perspective that favors individual rights against the benefit of the collective community. In my world, it has shown up in discussions about individual right to refuse treatment versus the community's right to safe and fair access to public spaces. and also in discussions about the development of affordable housing versus people's right to block it based on fears of inconvenience and real or imagined diminishment of their own properties. These are never easy dialogues, but within the context of the proverbial community, they sometimes can be even more difficult. I always tell people community is messy and it's sometimes painful. When you get up close and personal with another human being, which a lot of us have, there will always be points of disagreement. Learning how to navigate these moments has been an eternal challenge over the years. So why do we keep trying? Because we are not whole if we don't. It's in relationship that we discover the best of ourselves and the worst of ourselves sometimes. Ironically, we, the church, have created denominations because of such disagreements in church doctrine and practices. The most common practical example for this today is how we discuss vaccinations between those who support it and those who don't. These discussions can divide deeply, or it can actually be a dialogue about ways in which we choose to find common ground and sacrifice for each other. The cool thing about this church is that it began with an act of uniting two denominations, which have further united even more people outside of doctrinal differences. My hope is that CCU can continue to be a beacon of constructive dialogue that transforms all of us for the better. In verse 45, it tells us that the church also sold their property and possessions to give to those who had a need. I'm not going to ask you to do that today. But most of the time, when I read this verse, I have taken it to mean that I'm called to make financial sacrifices for the sake of people who have so much less than myself. I can't help but be influenced by this very money-centric culture that I'm immersed in. I don't doubt that there are times we are called to make some financial sacrifices or to simply be generous with our resources. But perhaps a deeper and broader call is one to be change makers that leave a legacy of a more just and therefore more hopeful world for those who are in our care, like raising children, or for those struggling to stay alive and making a living in our community. Can our church help raise our children to be grounded change makers for the future? I think what Beth shared this morning is a good example of just really creatively inviting children to care and to also be, you know, expand their horizons in terms of their thinking by reading. And will CCU help shape our island community to be one that honors work and ensures social justice? I think so, given the fact that, you know, it's named in so many ways in your liturgy. Can we contribute efforts toward ensuring that the quality of life locally here in Kailua includes affordable housing, that people with less resources don't get locked out of it? My hope is that we could empower people of all ages to become creative problem solvers and instead of leaving a huge sum of money behind, that we will have left a legacy of more socially just world that honors our Creator and one of which we can be proud. In verse 46, describes people gathering together publicly and privately in their homes to share meals together and to practice gratitude. Well, that's a little bit hard these days, isn't it? The COVID pandemic has robbed us of the ability to physically come together in worship as we've known it, or even a potluck. I was just talking to Paul Belanger yesterday about how worship has had to be reinvented during this time of COVID for so many different churches. You undoubtedly feel the loss of choir in its bigger version of meeting together on Sunday mornings to share the passing of peace, but you guys have been real creative about coming up with a different way, which is awesome. And our very treasured Hawaiian hugs, which we can't quite do yet. But you may have also learned how to creatively check in with each other virtually, and maybe we need to find even more ways to touch and bless each other. Practicing gratitude, as the early church did, is something we can do as a personal discipline, and it may well be the key to not being overcome by our grief and loneliness in response to the losses we've sustained or the social distancing that we're required to maintain. I know that you have individually and collectively faced many personal challenges. Losses of friends and family, you found moments to celebrate and share joys in your life in the midst of this really horrific last 18 months or so of the pandemic. I also bet that your faith has lifted you up to experience the grace of God that inspires you to press on. My own experiences this past months have been riddled with God's mercy despite painful, exhausting periods of dealing with our shelter guests at IHS and staff unwilling to cooperate with COVID protocols, which have resulted in positive cases and the spread of infection. In fact, our men's shelter only last week emerged out of quarantine, and the women and family shelter is currently closed to new admissions because it is in quarantine as well. We hope to come out of it, and it's really, to me, rolling with whatever the pandemic throws at us, but also knowing very well that God is with us in all of it. We've spread out our shelter over more sites, and that's been a very good strategy for us. We now have about 10 sites at which we provide shelter. We have specialty shelters, for people coming out of the hospital, and then we have the three larger shelters. We have one for veterans and a lot more. So I've been really challenged in this practice of gratitude in the midst of what I face daily. I need always to remind myself of what I do have, even when the lack of what I need is glaring straight at me. Let's remember that, like the early church, we have the Holy Spirit at work among us when we're feeling overwhelmed. God's presence and our own with each other are what fuels, as the scripture describes, the wonders to be witnessed and inspires courage to persevere. God does it for us, and we do it for each other. The final verse of this passage reports how the church enjoyed a favorable reputation in the greater community and welcomed more people into their fold who were attracted largely because I think the fellowship was characterized by love for one another and this radical sharing. People seemed to be looking for a place to plug in that offered hope and encouragement for what they were dealing with in their own lives, just as many people are today. But are we as relevant today? Many young people wonder if they have a future because what lies ahead seems so uncertain these days. With climate change threatening to make our planet uninhabitable and the impacts of our waste threatening to poison our sources of food and water, both on land and in the ocean, some might wonder, what happened to the God who promised to always be with us? For those seeking him, do we manifest God among us in our words and in our actions? Do we offer the hope they seek? So one aspect of their life together in community was an inclusiveness that has also been mentioned this morning. An inclusiveness that people had never experienced before, especially the poor and disenfranchised. Practically speaking, I bet no one was left hungry, and there was likely no such thing as homelessness among them. It didn't matter whether you had money or not, room was made for people who didn't share the same culture. Sometimes they didn't speak the same language or dressed kind of different too. And back then, women were allowed to take leadership roles in their organization. People of all ethnicities were welcomed and comfortable in their midst. That church empowered people who had less or was experiencing oppression to help them stand on their own 2 feet and were right there with them. Validation for all members of the community helped people discover their talents. Could have been the gift of wise leadership or managing resources or organizing projects and events or simply doing the daily work that was critical for the mission to continue. Or it could have been leading discussions, blessing with song or dance, and simply speaking words of encouragement. An array of gifts that could be put to use and allow people to quickly experience the kind of belonging they longed for. The last 15 years at IHS have allowed me to witness the power of community at work. We provide meals for hungry people. We talk and learn from their past experiences how best to help. We dress wounds, provide fresh clothing to change into after a shower, and we support with treatments like passing out their medications twice a day. We help them look for employment and housing. But at the foundation of all those actions and activity are core values that undergird the efforts of the group. Values remind people about how we operationalize a vision, which provides a direction toward which the work and activities are focused. What we've also learned is that we need to love and honor each person by protecting their dignity and giving people choices whenever possible. Empowering people also means holding people accountable for their choices, but not in a disdainful way. We help people understand the impact of their decisions and that they have power to bless or to hurt. That, yeah, they, each person that comes to us, have the power to bless or to hurt. At our core, we believe in each person's ability to be a blessing. More broadly, I'm learning to define what we at IHS can collectively do to foster the experience of community among our guests and to unleash the power it has to heal and motivate and create change. I've come to believe this experience of community is essential for ending homelessness and creating greater social justice in our world and locally. Policies can't do it, but sharing a meal can be the beginning of it. Okay, so you might be wondering, why do I have this permission to dance in my sermon title? Yeah, I'm a BTS fan, and it is their latest hit song. And for those of you who don't know who BTS is, they are only the hottest band in the world since the Beatles. They are also they also just addressed the United Nations General Assembly this past week at the behest of their president, the president of South Korea. But back to why the allusion to permission to dance. Dance, for me, has been an inspiration from when I was very young. I didn't have the opportunity to learn dance growing up because my parents were immigrants that didn't necessarily value dance as something that was going to get me ahead in life. But that didn't stop me from pretending I knew how to dance. So you could find me as a child doing my own version of tap dancing on the steps of my family's rented duplex. I never took a dance lesson back then, yet I enjoyed dancing because it seemed to inherently reflect joy and creativity. Over the years, academics, going to Chinese school after school, that was more of a priority. And the church that I started to attend when I was 10 years old also taught that dancing was a no-no. But as an adult, I began to explore movement and dance as a way of spiritual practice and expression and gave myself permission to dance as part of worship in church. And for those of you, like Beth, who knew me back then, when I attended church regularly here, I felt very welcome to dance on many occasions, and I thank you for that. And it could be all kinds of things, not only in worship. I remember doing a dance for a memorial service and for just saying goodbye or saying hello. For me, dance is an interaction between spirits. Whether a solo artist dances for an audience or as spiritual practice, or a duo learns to dance without tripping on each other's toes, or a group like BTS or a flash mob performs in unison to designed choreography. It seems always to be a phenomenon that involves more than that individual. As church, we are dancing a lot of the time when we gather together to love and support one another. Sorry. We're dancing when we are sharing our woes and wisdom about parenting or growing old, or even when we are simply sharing a meal together and catching up with what's going on with each other's lives. We also dance when we come together to celebrate and mourn lives lost. And our scripture today suggests that the fellowship of believers was a place to discover and unleash one's gifts and talents, to share resources to nurture and rescue one another, and effect the kinds of change for the greater good needed in our world collectively. We similarly enjoy such moments with each other in our lives here together. Fellowship fosters the experience of being uplifted and connected, and it can birth sacred moments which are reflective of God's presence among us in or out of church. I've learned that we don't need permission to dance in community. For what is dance but the act of moving together in communion with the Spirit? We are called to move together to change our lives and others for the better, and to change the world just as those who gathered as one did in the early church. A couple of weeks ago, I was jolted by an injury to my knee, which I'm wearing a brace today for, that not only slowed me down, but also made me look in the mirror and realize that, hey, you know what? I'm definitely over the proverbial hill and not a spring chicken anymore. That injury was alarming because I thought it meant that my days of dancing were over. I realize now I can find new ways of dancing that might still be a blessing, especially after maybe some physical therapy. As we are now without a pastor once again, we will have the opportunity to learn to dance with a new partner down the road. But we have each other now, and the dancing continue with all the cool things that you've been doing here at CCU. I know that the name of this church says we are Uniting Disciples and Presbyterians, but as I mentioned before, we've already opened our doors to all kinds of people who want to experience the love of God and the power to keep changing the world together. So I just want to leave these 3 points with you about, you know, just continuing that dance. First, keep inviting people to dance with you. Sometimes the fear of rejection keeps us from opening our mouths to reach out to others. Sometimes we're just tired. But inviting people into your life is the first step to getting to the dance floor, right? So if we never get up the courage to extend the invitation, we might never get to dance and experience the joy of moving in sync with someone in a new way. Secondly, keep experimenting with your choreography. The way we always do church might be a comfort for us, but does it make space for others to feel like they add something to your dance too? Keep inviting people to come and share how they are experiencing hope in this world and what they see for the future. I think Vespers and the Lanai is that kind of engagement with so many different kinds of people, and that's such a wonderful way to lift up diverse talents and include them as part of who we are. Finally, pay attention to everybody who walks in the door to join the party. A stranger who just shows up at a dance might have had to really talk themselves into doing so. So don't let them get away without learning more about them. Virtual relating in the age of COVID has been challenging for sure, but it's also an opportunity to relate in ways that may be more comfortable for some who are shyer, who are less mobile, or simply don't want to leave their home. Can our ministries morph to meet needs in new ways during these COVID times? Take time to create more doors into our community and pay attention to folks when they show up and when they don't show up. Who knows, they may be bringing some new exotic new dance step that unleashes the Holy Spirit in a new and wondrous way. So whatever you do, keep dancing. No permission needed. Thank you.
We continue our worship, gathering together for prayer. It's an important part of our community, and it's an important part of this worship time. I'm aware of a few prayers. We know there are many that may be weighing heavy in our hearts or minds, If you're online and wish to type in your request, be assured that we will hold you in prayer. We even have a special email that you can send your prayers to, and we always send out a weekly prayer. So please know that you are being held in loving prayer by this community. I'm aware that Melissa and Paul Ballinger's, Melissa's sister Linda sends thanks and an update for her friend Donna Chaffee, who we've been praying for. And it's been a hard row, but they are very thankful again for all the prayers of healing, healing energy. We're also aware from Maureen and Andy Bates that Andy, who has had two heart attacks, will be having surgery on Tuesday. So we are holding them in prayer, and they greatly appreciate that support. But again, we are aware that there may be other prayers, and I invite you to gather our hearts and minds together. Dear loving and creative God, we share these prayers, but know that you also hear the prayers that remain in our hearts. We ask for health and healing for ourselves, our friends and family, and the world. We ask for patience and perseverance as we build hope for the future. We close with the words of the prayer that you gave us, with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we come to a very important time of our worship, which is communion. And at CCU, as Connie reminded us, we have blended traditions of both the Presbyterian and the Disciples. So one of the Disciples' traditions is to celebrate communion every Sunday, and we do that. Another is that any elder, of which I am, can serve to provide communion. So we come to this meal together, and we bring joy as we commune together. This is a table of memory and remembrance, and a table of thanksgiving. This table is where we come together to give thanks as a community, no matter what the circumstances are, for all that God has given us. We remember that it was the night that Jesus was arrested, that he took bread and broke it and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took a cup, and giving thanks, he poured it out and gave it to them, saying, "This cup represents a new relationship with God made possible by my life and death. So drink of it, and in this way, remember me." So wherever you are, if you're in the sanctuary and you have a small communion cup that has a strategically placed little wafer here and a little juice. If you're home and you want to grab another type of morsel or beverage, please join in this ritual of communion together. indeed we have many opportunities to show our gratitude for all that God has done and continues to do in our lives. One way is to make a financial contribution to the mission and ministry of this faith community. A calabash is available outside. If you're online, you can give at the link that I believe is available. And keep in mind that we can give beyond our financial with the time, with the gifts that we have, with the opportunities to dance in our community with others. And we are invited at this time to reflect how we can provide an offering to the world. And I invite you to listen as Kalua shares the doxology. And now we get to church life updates. So we've got a lot going on, despite some challenges to move forward. We have an opportunity to give to the Foodland Give Aloha, only 5 more days. If you're not familiar with this, a matching opportunity for giving a donation at the store, and then you put in the little number. Ours is 78419. And you've got 5 days if you haven't done so already. No purchase necessary. Please check that out. We have a wonderful opportunity, and many of you participated in the creativity video collective a while back that Rachel put together. She has yet another opportunity for people to creatively identify with visuals. So just send in a little picture, if you would, or more, to Rachel. Email available in the directory or through the emails for the, drum roll, virtual gratitude journal. How many of you have already contributed? Okay, we can, thank you, Pauls. 2 Pauls, yay. So we can be grateful and share that, and I invite you to do so. That's kind of an exciting opportunity to get just different perspectives on what we're grateful for. I also want to give thank you to Marian for the beautiful flowers today. They are in honor of her brother, David, in memory and honor of her brother, David Stannard. So thank you for beautifying our sanctuary in that special way. People that know more than I, have I forgotten anything? I think we're okay. We carry forward. We continue the dance, inspired and nourished for the week ahead. And so I believe it is time to enjoy another song. I invite our leaders to come up, Marian and Louise. Thank you so much, and enjoy. Thank you.
Receive the benediction. May you continue to keep dancing and finding new ways to connect, to uplift, to create and invite others into your midst. May you all continue sanctuary for people of all ages and orientations to discover their preciousness in God's sight. Amen.